Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the gobbly-bleck folk that live in the Uinta Mountains. Good morning to the trout that swim in the stream. Good morning to the Pacific Islanders running from underwater volcanoes. Good morning to the Grumbos who live in Kansas. Good morning to the Schlimbach. They live in Chicago. Good morning to all the folk across this great world, this great land, the land of milk and honey, the land of plenty, right? Plenty of something. This wonderful land, this world, this place. But it's not Eden, okay? If you're an atheist, you should fucking know that. And if you're a Christian, you should be deeply aware of that. This isn't Eden. This isn't the kingdom. This isn't Eden. This is not heaven. This is the world between. This is the world where when you sometimes, often, like a human, make a mistake, you bleed. This is the world where sometimes a person will come up to you and punch you in the face. This is a world where you can be a mother in your early 40s and be wiped out by cancer. I know that because that's what happened to my sister Nancy. This is not a perfect place. This is also not hell. There's a lot of beauty in this place. And how is that? Well, I'm not going to get all Immanuel Kant on you. I will simply say that it's obvious that God's hand is visible in this world because there is beauty. And all of this is something we should consider. On Tuesday, June the 14th, is today Bastille Day? No, I don't think so. That's next month. Right? Yeah. No, on Tuesday, June the 14th, 2022, Bo Blimp Talk. And I am, as of this morning, 7 a.m. Tuesday, Mountain Standard Time, declaring a beer emergency. That's right, a Bravo Echo Echo Romeo emergency. I currently need to raise funds to drink some beer. I will explain why. You don't have to care why. You also don't have to donate any money. It's up to you. And if you think I'm a nasty old drunk, I think that's okay too. I really do. After living in Seattle and seeing stupid motherfuckers wearing two or three coffee filters on their face while they, you know, jogged in the hot sun, I no longer need or give a fuck about your medical opinion. At all. I don't. If you want to say, Dan, I wish you wouldn't drink as much beer. You know what? I recently saw a movie that was remastered, a movie from the early 70s, a movie about the Australian outback, which I will probably talk about a bit more later, called Wake in Fright. It was originally released under the title Outback. And after watching this film, I am assuredly drinking too little fucking beer. What did one of the main characters say? Water is for washing. Beer is for drinking. Yeah, I'm declaring a beer emergency. So I often beg for money I usually do it at the end, but if you have any money at all, and I know that none of us do, despite all the money printing, most of the people I know at our level have been and continue to experience some variant of austerity. But if you do have a few bucks you can rub together, go ahead and donate that money to your good old Uncle Dan, because I just don't give a fuck. I don't. I don't care. I don't care to hear any of the arguments. I don't care to understand the perspective. I am convinced that drinking less beer is better for me, but I'm also convinced that drinking no beer is probably worse. And I just don't care. I mean, if you're going to talk to me about the future, let me tell you a story about the future. Let me tell you a story about something that recently happened. And if you have discernment and any depth of personality, and you've listened to my podcast, arguably going back, many years, you will understand what I'm about to describe. I had waited a number of months after my last project ended to float my resume. In part because my friend and I, Justin and I, were trying to start a business. And we haven't given up on it. It's currently in a slow mode because we both need to make money to pay for rent and food. That's the real world. But for many months, I just postponed it. I won't post my resume. And then last month, I was thinking, well, maybe I'll work at McDonald's. Maybe I'll work in the woods. Maybe I'll do this and that. But the reality is, when you're a software engineer in 2022 Boblimtok, it's a lot like being Al Pacino in Godfather 3. Every time you try to get out, they pull you back in. And that's fine, because the money is so fucking good, okay? So I float my resume, and then within basically a day, I have a couple of interviews, and then within 6 days, I have a job offer. And it's a really good job offer, and it's six figures. Six figures based upon two interviews that were two of the easiest interviews I've had in years. And I'm not saying I don't want the job. I accepted the job. I simply don't believe it. I don't believe how it happened. It makes no fucking sense. In a functioning economy, if we had one right now, it wouldn't have worked that way. And if you say, well, Dan, it's because of the clot shot, I see very little evidence of any of the mass deaths people are talking about. Yeah, in the news, we get fed a lot of fucking fear. But I see little to no evidence of any of the bullshit they talk about with the vaccine poisoning. That doesn't mean people aren't being poisoned. I just don't see the evidence that's being done at a large scale. And when I say evidence, it's the stuff you should see in your life, especially if you're surrounded by a bunch of older people who happen to be Mormons, which means they're going to take every fucking vaccine they're offered. I've seen zero fucking evidence. Okay? None. Zip, nada. So if you come back to me and say it's because of all the young people who've been murdered by the clot shot, I call bullshit, just like I call bullshit on the COVID monkey herpes. All right? You need to believe this shit. You go right ahead. And if you want to feel better about yourself, the best way to do it is to donate money so I can have some fucking beer. And then you know what? Maybe I end up just not giving a fuck. Not caring, not having any sense of understanding, not worrying, and not really expecting anything other than the same thing that I expected yesterday. You see, I do love this world. I won't lie to you. And beer is one of the things I love about it. I love beer. I love weed. I love good food when I can find it. I do like the outdoors. I like the mountains. I love these dogs I get to walk every day. The list of things that makes me happy is still a long fucking list. But the reality is, nothing's free. Nothing. Even on the fucking neo-Stalinist Death Star, you're still going to pay rubles to buy whatever piva they can squeeze out of their butthole. So yeah, there's nothing free. There was nothing free in the Soviet Union, by the way. The only thing that was really free in the Soviet period was misery. And yeah, In the United States of Boblimtok, misery is still exceptionally fucking cheap. But when it comes to things that make you happy, well, that's not so cheap. And I don't know when this is going to happen, but at some point in the near future, and we're going to talk about that in a second, I don't think the beer is going to be there. It's one of the reasons why, if this job is real, I'm probably going to start brewing my own beer. I think I've already decided that. And I may even try, you know, if I can, without harming the agreements that the people have with the lessee or leaser with purposes of this place I'm currently renting a room from, blah, blah, blah. I might try to grow some weed, but I don't really know. I don't know where we're at in the game. I think we're close to the next big drop, and I'm not talking about stocks. I'm not talking about that movie you're watching. I'm talking about reality. I think we're pretty close to the next big bad thing, but I don't know what it is. I think famine is guaranteed, so that's not going to be a shock. It shouldn't be a shock when it hits. But I think that there are far worse things than just famine on the horizon. So this is a beer emergency. And you can say, Dan, there's no such thing as a beer. You know what? If you can wear a fucking coffee filter and talk to me about the monkey herpes and the monkey pox and the monkey jar and the monkey fucking crabs you got from dating last week, then shut the fuck up about the beer emergency. This is definitely a way more critical issue than any of that bullshit you're obsessed about. Oh my God, the Russians, the Chinese, there's a murder hornet. Can you believe Trump? January 6th, blah, blah, blah. Biden's crazy. You know what? Every motherfucker that has sat in that fucking chair has been mostly a worthless piece of shit. So shut the fuck up about all these fears you carry around. Listen, you can carry around your fears, but I guarantee you, that's a good place to not judge me about my beers. You got all this shit you want to be afraid of. You go ahead and you be you. But I want to be me. If I want to sit down and listen to music and vape marijuana for 3 or 4 hours a day as I sip on a really shitty Natty Light, which is probably the only beer I can get in Mormonville that doesn't fucking kill me too quickly, then yeah, I'll do that. And I won't give a fuck. How the fuck do I end up getting a job after being in the job market barely a week, really not even a week, a couple days before the weekend, a couple days after, but let's call it a fucking week. How the fuck do I go from 0 to 6 figures in a week? If you think it's because the shortage of qualified workers, man, do I have a COVID monkey herpes pandemic to fucking sell you? So why? It fits into my baseline theory. My baseline theory since 2020, early 2020, is that they want to keep us busy. They want to keep us confused. They want to keep us angry and immobilized. They want to keep us divided, and they don't want us to talk to each other, and they really don't want us to go that many places. I have a brother that's been traveling around the world, and God bless him. That's not something I'd want to do right now or probably ever, but the fact that he wants to, great. But most of the people I have met in the last few years aren't going on worldwide trips. They're barely able to keep their house flipping reality going. So you add in basically keeping people employed, keeping people on the job, and maybe even people they suspect could be dangerous. I mean, it's not a difficult list to work to make out, right? You know, I was a former U.S. Army officer. I don't think I was that stellar, and I was never in combat. But who knows? Maybe they just keep track of every motherfucker, because just about, you never know, any old drunken Ulysses S. Grant working at the Sears store or whatever might end up being interesting in the future. Who the fuck knows, right? So maybe this is more cheap East German bullshit. You just keep people fat, dumb, and satisfied. If these people weren't so fucking stupid, they would just give me money. Give me a shack in the middle of nowhere, give me as much weed and beer as I want, and leave me the fuck alone. Most of the people that I've come to meet in recent years, and thankfully very few of these are my friends or even my listeners, but most of the people I met working at Microsoft were the kind of people that just, I don't know how to put it, they will continue to accept this until the very end. They are not at any risk of undergoing radical change. There is no risk at this point of convincing them to do shit. And since my baseline theory is that the system is in collapse, and that is the best case scenario of why they're keeping us so angry, so immobilized, so locked down in so many interesting ways, there's no changing any of this. It's all going to fall apart. You don't need to toss dynamite at it. These motherfuckers, the strategies they're using to protect themselves is also destroying the system faster. So it's a beer emergency. And it's way more critical than a COVID monkey herpes emergency. Yeah, way more critical than a COVID monkey herpes nightmare. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. You can all be free when everything's fine. That's another thing a lot of the normies I met in Seattle believe, is they believe it's okay to be free when there are no problems, there's nothing to complain about, there are no issues, everybody loves each other, everybody is ideologically the same. And in that kind of world where everyone is the same, freedom becomes fucking meaningless almost. You could argue that freedom on one level, and guess what? The gay and lesbian community used to promote this. They've gone to the dark side too. But you could argue on one level that freedom is the right to be different. Freedom is the right to say shit that does piss people off. Freedom is the right to annoy and to offend people. Freedom doesn't mean you get to physically harm people, but freedom does mean you get to be who you are. And if your mere existence pisses people off, God bless. God bless. You're doing it right. Freedom is not about conformity. It isn't. It never was. And yet, now, if you ask people, when do you get to be free? Well, it's when the monkey herpes is gone. It's when the Russians have been destroyed. It's when the magical abiotic oil nuggety center has been found. It's after we've dropped enough bombs. It's after we've killed enough people. And then, you know, when you've got that mountain of bones built up someplace in the future, you get to be fucking free. You get to have liberty when everybody agrees with everybody. You get to have liberty when everyone has a full stomach. You get to have liberty when there's all kinds of fresh water and everybody gets to fuck somebody. That's when you get to be free. I would contend that that is A, a dystopia, and B, even if it happened that way, what is the point? What is the point of making choices in a world where every flavor is vanilla? What is the fucking point of choosing a color when every color is black? What is the point of trying to understand the world when all of the contours, all of the cracks, the patina of human existence has been wiped away? It basically sounds like a mental hospital. It doesn't sound like a free society, and it doesn't sound like a very good future. But if you ask a lot of normies, they will parrot the concept that I believe Dr. Freckles is stating ironically, and that is, you get to be free when everything's okay. But until it's all okay, you gotta live in a cage. You gotta have a chain. You better get your smart device. It's also your dog collar. I told some normie fuckers in Seattle who claimed to believe in freedom. I think it was back in 2019, Bo Blimp Talk. We were sitting at a bar, you know, on Capitol Hill, I think. And I tried to explain to them something very fucking simple. That smart device that they held in their hands, that smart device that was such a wonder of technology, the reason why it was so heavily subsidized and controlled is because that smart device is a dog collar. That it's a dog, it's a tracking device. It, you know, you get to have the freemium and you get to have all the cool games or whatever because they just want to keep track of where the fuck you are. And really, a flip phone is the same. I've got a flip phone, but I can truly say I don't take it everywhere. There were lots of times when I lived in Seattle, and there have been lots of times in my recent life where I simply leave that fucker at home. I know what it is. I know what it does. I don't need anybody to have a ant trail, bee trail, slug trail. I don't need anybody to have an insect trail bullshit of knowing where the fuck I'm going. And listen, I don't know how much more difficult I make their lives when I do it, but whatever cost I can accrue to them, I'm going to. For a lot of people, liberty means normality. And that's really bad. It really is, because you're never going to get to anything like a healthy society if you think of it that way. Liberty means freedom. It means choices, whether life is normal or abnormal. And under conditions of stress, under conditions of disaster, what you really want are free people, okay? June 22nd, 1941. The Germans are invading the Soviet Union. Of course, they have to get through the part of Poland that the Soviet Union stole. That's the first step, right? On that first day, as German tanks were shredding Soviet soldiers left and right, there were still Soviet officers picking up the fucking field phone and asking, "Do I have permission to distribute ammo? Do I have permission to fight back? Do I have permission to do anything?" These soldiers were so well normalized and so incapable of freedom, they were so properly trained in their own fucking way that they could not even protect their own troops. In the first 4 weeks of that particular campaign, the Germans destroyed 80% of all Soviet strategic forces. And they did it not because they had the most advanced weapons or they were so special, but their soldiers were trained to make decisions. I'm not saying they were free people. They were just freer. A lot of the people in America today are like those Red Army soldiers on June the 22nd, 1941. They're staring into the abyss. They're too afraid to do anything except obey whatever the fucking smart device tells them through whatever channel they do, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, whatever means of control is used, they need to wait for their next command. A lot of people will starve to death staring at their smart devices weeks after the electricity's out. They will stare at their devices hoping magically, as members of a cargo cult, that something will change magically. And many of these are atheists, by the way, brothers and sisters. They will beat you up for believing in God. They'll beat you up for believing in the resurrection. But these motherfuckers will sit and stare at their fucking phones while their children are screaming, for food, while their family is falling apart. They will stare at that device, hoping it magically turns on. Next topic. Am I right? So there's still a lot of bargaining going on. You know, in recent days, there's been a lot of turmoil in the crypto world. And I'll talk about crypto a bit later here. But in recent days, there's been a lot of turmoil with some of these major, you know, futures markets for crypto and other exchanges basically shutting down. And I don't want to beat up on crypto too much because I think we're close enough to the end of it that beating up on it serves no purpose. It's kind of like saying, let's form a guerrilla army to take down the US government. Listen, the reason why they're using PSYOPs is because they're so fucking weak. You don't need to do anything. If you want to stay at home and drink whiskey, the whole thing's going to collapse. I would suggest you don't live downwind of a boiling water reactor. I would suggest that you don't live within 50 miles of a major highway. I would suggest you don't live in a fucking city. But if you want to sit in your city and drink your fucking whiskey right next to the nuclear reactor, that's your fucking business. It's your fucking life. I would also suggest you don't judge me if I don't judge you. But you do what you want to do, motherfucker. There's a lot of bargaining going on right now. And the bargaining started out as, well, will there be a recession? And then the bargaining went to, it's going to be stagflation. And now the bargaining's at, it could be hyperinflation. And ultimately, the last bargaining position is the collapse of the US dollar, which I think most people will get to sometime in September, maybe October. And that'll probably be after the dollar is being rejected, which means technically after the petrodollar has collapsed. In the 1930s, and this is a rough estimate based upon the research I've done, so you can get more accurate numbers, but in the 1920s and 30s, one barrel of oil got you between, I think, 60 to 100 barrels of oil, which means that for the energy required in one barrel of oil, you got a shit ton of oil, which means basically almost free energy. If you consider that in 1 gallon of gasoline, there's roughly 600 man hours of labor. Can you imagine hiring 600 people for an hour, for whatever the price of gasoline is a gallon today? Let's say it's $8 a gallon in California. Can you imagine for $8 hiring 600 people to work for an hour? That's never gonna happen, buddy. That's never gonna happen. So for you motherfuckers out there who don't understand math and engineering and mechanics, that is reality. Back in the fucking 30s, one barrel of fucking oil got you pretty much 100 barrels. All right? Today, one barrel of oil gets you two, if you're lucky. Technically, as far as energy consumption goes, the Canadian tar sands is a big fucking negative. The only reason why it produces oil is because they use a lot of energy from natural gas locally, aka energy that's used up. Now, they've come up with new formulas to try to say, well, Dan, it still works because we got a crooked math. We hired a guy from Enron. There's a new... I don't care about your formulas. In terms of energy in versus energy out, the Canadian tar sands are a giant fucking loser. But again, at the end of the game, when Berlin is surrounded, you're going to make your brown gas any way you fucking have to. I think what we're facing is not stagflation in the short term. And when I say the short term, I think time is going to be very compressed. A year ago, I did a podcast called The 1 Week Crack Up Bash, and it's based upon the crack up boom theory of, debt cycles that Austrians often talk about, these monetary expansion debt cycles that often end up in crack up booms. But the thing about the crack up boom and hyperinflation or stagflation is that implied in that is that as long as you're willing to print enough money, as long as that money still has some kind of residual value, you'll still find something to buy. But we are in a just-in-time, globalist, neo-Stalinist hellhole. And it takes one barrel to just get two barrels of oil. This is not the world that Bernanke wrote his famous dissertation about. It's not. Not even fucking close. And a lot of people are about to find out. There are situations where you can print all the money you want to. You can have all the gold in the world. You can have diamonds and pearls and slaves. There are situations where no amount of resource is going to give you anything. Okay? If you want to live to be, let's say, 1,000 years old, there is no amount of wealth you're going to expend to get there. I don't care if you're Bill Gates or any of those dumb motherfuckers. The reality is they don't have enough money to live forever. They don't. Okay? There are many things. If you wanted to go to Mars and you were a billionaire and you wanted to buy a ticket to Mars and you were willing to convert all your billions for a ticket to Mars, that would not get you there. There is no ship leaving. When you talk about hyperinflation and stagflation, you're implying that there is going to be something in the pipeline that you can pay for, something that you can say, here's some money. Give me that. Yeah. It takes a wheelbarrow to get a loaf of bread, but there's still a loaf of bread. That's not what we're facing. That was Germany, okay? What we're facing is far closer to what the Soviets faced at the end of the Soviet Union. And it wouldn't have mattered how many fucking rubles you had, especially if you were an ordinary schmuck, okay? You could have all the rubles in the world, and you were still going to end up with crap. And in many cases, you would pay a lot for crap. I mean, if it weren't for the black market, you would have had nothing but crap. We're not in the situation they are even in. There is no United States of America someplace making cassette tapes in Jordache jeans and somehow slipping them in through a CIA pipeline and helping out the black market so that people can listen to rock and roll. This isn't that either, really. It's the closest fucking analogy, but it isn't that. Okay? In the near future, and it's not too far off in the future, despite all the boy who cried wolf psyop bullshit, in the near future, you can have a wheelbarrow of $100 bills, and there are going to be things you will not be able to get. I have argued that best case scenario, we're looking at the collapse of the petrodollar empire. Best case. And they're managing it with these psyops to produce, in part, what I would call global austerity. One of the effects of this angry, divisive, stay at home, don't talk to anybody, and mostly don't go anywhere kind of culture is that it is, in fact, operating as austerity. Okay? I would also argue that all these stories about food processing plants and Russian hackers and all this other shit about farmers burning piles of potatoes, I think that's Soviet-style propaganda bullshit too. If you ask me, the powers that be have been collecting up food, probably aggressively, for the last decade. And in recent years, since the beginning of the monkey herpes, the last 2 years, every story you read about a food processing plant going down the tubes, I think you need to understand there's something else going on. And it isn't hackers, and it isn't Russians. It's most likely your government collecting up food. That's what's going on. These weird logistical stories, there's a trucker strike here, there's a trucker strike there, there's a bunch of people here doing this bullshit, and that's why you can't get your fucking McNuggets, if you can't. I think you still can, though, can't you? Which means we aren't there yet, people. We're not there yet. You're still at the concession stand. You just bought a popcorn for $20. You found a cockroach inside, but you're going to take it anywhere. That's, you know, anyways, that's where you're at in the game. The movie hasn't even started yet. If you can still go to McDonald's and get some type of poison to shove down your blumptic hole, the movie isn't even started. You haven't even seen the previews yet. You haven't even seen those shitty Navy SEAL commercials telling you warfare is like a movie bullshit yet. The screen is fucking dark. And you're sitting there with your cockroach popcorn, aka the crypto. The movie hasn't even started yet. Back in the 1980s and 90s, a man by the name of Alan Greenspan worked at the Federal Reserve and ultimately as Fed chairman to redefine many things like inflation, like unemployment. And one of the arguments that that fucker made is hamburger is steak. Hamburger steak. The problem with that stupid fucking argument, amongst many, is hamburger isn't even hamburger any longer. It's a lot of other shit. It's pink slime. It's a lot of garbage. So when a guy like Greenspan says hamburger steak, it's not just that he's grifting you. It's not that he's just fucking lying to you. He knows the truth. He knows it's a bait and switch, the classic bait and switch. Hamburger is steak. What I'm telling you is that even if hamburger is steak, and even if the nasty, crappy shit hamburger they have today is like steak, it's not going to be there. Okay, it's not. We're not facing stagflation. You can call it shortflation if you want to. You can call it a situation by which no amount of money you get paid is going to give you what you need. Let's talk about pharmaceuticals. A lot of people in this country have chronic diseases. The good news is I'm not on any fucking pharma, and if they do end up canceling beer, I'll simply get healthier. A lot of you motherfuckers who are on 50 different kinds of what the fuck, you're going to be in a lot of fucking trouble. And no amount of money is going to fix your situation. You could have a pile of fucking money, like it's 1920s Germany, and roll up to the fucking pharma store, and there won't be anything there. And it won't be coming. This isn't the 1920s or the 30s, people. This isn't what you think it is. A lot of people want to sell, oh, it's like Germany in 1933. No, this is Berlin, 1945. And it's over. It's over. I don't know what happens next, but the United States government is done. Anyways, I'm trying to make this point so people can understand that the stagflation thing is just another bargaining position. And if you've actually been sensitive to the news in the last 6 months, excuse me, there's been a lot of shifting of bargaining positions. A lot of people are developing new rationalizations at a faster rate. It's kind of like if you could read the communiques between different units in the 6th Army in late 1942 around Stalingrad, if you could monitor and track them over time, you would notice the same nonsense, the same self-delusion. Ultimately, you would understand what the fuck is going on. People are bargaining. This is one of the stages of grieving. There's denial, there's anger, and then there's hoping there's something that's going to fucking work out. So they're bargaining. Well, it's going to be hyperinflation. It'll be stagflation. It'll be bad, but I've got my 401k. No, you don't. Boomer. And if you're a boomer, you're fucked. I mean, this is one of the worst parts of the whole thing. It's kind of horrible. But if you're a boomer, you are truly fucked. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how much money you have. You are fucked. Maybe if you're a bazillionaire and you've already gotten to your condo or your bunker, you might be okay until somebody younger than you decides to kill you. And I don't know how to put this to you, but you're surrounded. Most of the people in this world are not rich. They don't have tons of money. And when they find you, they're going to kill you. But if you're an ordinary upper-class boomer, you're super fucked. All your investments, all your pensions, all those promises that you thought were important to keep, like, I don't know, promising the Soviet Union that you wouldn't expand NATO past Poland. Promises like that. In fact, for some of you fucking boomers, why don't you go and see a psychic? And ask that psychic to talk to some old dead Native American chief and then have a conversation about fucking promises. I really think that's a great fucking idea. Why don't you talk to some of those folks, those Marines from the 50s who walked into a nuclear blast or just after and died of cancer? Ask them about fucking promises. Why don't you ask a young Lieutenant Sullivan in 1996 who believed he was taking the oath to defend a free country? Ask him about fucking promises. If you think any of those promises are going to be kept, you're a fucking idiot. It's not the 1970s, bro. It's not the 1930s. It's not the 1920s. And despite all the movies you watch, the robots are neither going to kill you nor fucking save you. It's over. All your stuff is over. And if you're stuck in a city with a pile of zeros and you don't even have the electricity to find out how many, you're truly fucked. If you require lots of pharma, you're fucked. If you need 8 kinds of heart medication, you are fucked. Period. Next topic. I'm going to read an article from Zero Hedge. This article was published today, June the 14th, at around 6:30 a.m. I think that's Eastern Standard Time. It was written by Tyler Durden, which is the nom de plume of whomever or whatever writes these stories on Zero Hedge. Headline: We appear to be entering a recession. Coinbase explains why it is firing 18% of employees. With Bitcoin crashing to 21,000 overnight, down more than two-thirds from its all-time high, as opportunistic traders short the crypto in hopes of forcing Celsius to liquidate and MicroStrategy to get a margin call, it won't until Bitcoin drops to 4,000. Moments ago, the CEO of the largest U.S. crypto exchange, Brian Armstrong, head of Coinbase, sent a letter to all his employees that he will fire 18% of the company's employees as, and I quote, we appear to be entering a recession after a 10-year economic boom. What kind of fucking moron would call the stranded unconscious skier who is masturbating in his or her brain and is slowly dying of frostbite a fucking 10-year boom? And I continue. And since another crypto winter is on deck, he has to ensure we stay healthy during the economic downturn. His full letter is below. And while reading it, consider that every other startup, and certainly those that are unprofitable, Coinbase at least has positive EBITDA, which would be about 99.9% of them, will be sending out identical letters in the coming days, if not hours, as the tidal wave of mass layoffs we discussed recently becomes a tsunami. Well, I've been talking about for years, you fucks at Zero Hedge. A message from Coinbase CEO and co-founder Brian Armstrong. Here it is. Earlier today, I shared the following note with all Coinbase employees. I will try to talk like Brian Armstrong. I don't even know what the fuck he sounds like. Team, today I am making the difficult decision to reduce the size of our team by about 18% to ensure we stay healthy during this economic downturn. I want to walk you through why I am making this decision below, but first I want to start by taking some fucking accountability. I know how we got here. And the buck stops with me, baby. Over the past month, I've had many conversations with our exec team and our board to discuss the recent market events as well as the state of our business. Several realities have become clear to me in these discussions. Economic conditions are changing rapidly. We appear to be entering a recession after a 10-year economic boom. A recession could lead to another crypto winter and could last for an extended period of time. Why does this already sound like, and I have to editorialize here a bit, why does this already sound like the plot to a really shitty ripoff of Game of Thrones? We're about to enter crypto winter. Everybody find your busty hooker. In past crypto winters, you know, the White Walkers, no. In past crypto winters, trading revenue, our largest revenue source, has declined significantly. While it's hard to predict the economy or the markets, we always plan for the worst so we can operate the business through any environment. Wow, that's some real optimistic bullshit. Managing our costs is critical in down markets. Coinbase has survived through four major crypto winters, and we've created long-term success by carefully managing our spending through every down period. Down markets are challenging to navigate and require a different mindset. We grew too quickly. At the beginning of 2021, we had 1,250 employees. At the time, we were in the early innings of a bull run, and adoption of crypto products was exploding. No, that's bullshit. There were new use cases enabled by crypto getting traction practically every week. Yeah, that's how Ponzi's work. We saw the opportunities, but we needed to massively scale our team to be positioned to compete in a broader... I can't even read the rest of this bullshit. I gotta stop right here. I'm not interested. If you actually think any of this shit is worth reading, you go ahead and read. I am of the opinion that we are still in such an early stage of all this shit that we might be looking at a head fake. When I did the podcast, the one-week crack-up bash a year ago, and I talked about how in this neo-Stalinist hellhole, they're going to keep all the plates spinning as long as they fucking can, my argument was quite simple. As of right now, they need people to behave. They need people to believe that everything's going to be okay. They need people to believe it's a recession or even at some point, God forbid, they'll say depression. They need people to believe that no matter how bad it is, it's going to get better again soon, or at least in terms of the previous system. And again, they define better in terms of building lots of shit that gives you cancer and then dumping that shit at the landfill. That's their definition of better. I personally think that's a kind of hell. But in their Soviet way of thinking, they want you to believe that, yeah, the giant piles of shit will still be there. You'll still be able to shovel that shit down your throat. You'll still be able to get cancer and then get the cancer drugs to shrink the fucking tumors, and then you can go buy more shit that ends up in the landfill. But that's not coming back. Actually, we have a chance for a healthier world again, but that shitty world where you gotta be on 20 different drugs, that world's over. It's gone. Okay? A lot of these crypto freaks, especially the ones that say things like, we've been in a 10-year boom. You know, I've talked about the stranded unconscious skier. I'll tell you again, it's real simple. You're a skier, you're in the snow, you are slowly dying. You are, because you're unconscious in a drift of snow. And you will slowly die. But in your head, you're at the chalet. You're with the underwear models. You're actually drinking martinis and preparing to go to the hot tub. In your head, everything is okay. If you lived in the donut post-2008, and that I mean the donut around Washington, D.C., if you worked in financials, if you worked in the military-industrial complex, if you worked in the hospital bullshit, the so-called healthcare sector, if you worked in one of the crony sectors post-2008, you've done pretty well, you know, with the underwear models in your fucking head. But the rest of the country was slowly dying. That's the 10-year fucking boom this moron's talking about. Good luck with that, buddy. You see, I don't even believe that stupid motherfucker believes the shit he's saying. I don't. I don't think he believes any of it. You read that shit and it is dreck and it's stupid. You go ahead and read it yourself. He doesn't believe it. Somebody that I think may have been gaslighting me about crypto since 2017, somebody I know recently, you know, they lost their phone. And I've thought about it a lot. Like, why would you lose your phone? Well, if you've been promoting cryptos hardcore and you suspect that the whole game, the scam, the Ponzi's are about to implode, and a lot of people who don't have barely enough to pay their fucking rent or buy food are about to lose what little they have, yeah, I would lose my phone too. I would probably not want to talk to any of these motherfuckers. I wouldn't want to have any conversations. If I'd been grifting people for 5+ years to get involved in something that's fucking stupid, that it's a literal waste of resources and a literal waste of time, if I had been involved in that, I would lose my fucking phone. I wasn't. Briefly, I flirted with crypto bullshit in 2017. Briefly, I even wrote a paper. And let me tell you something. In the research I did around crypto, I came to a few different conclusions. One conclusion is, by design, what Satoshi proposed could never work. That it would almost literally fail if it blew out, and it could very easily implode. That it could never work. That there were simply mathematical principles at play dealing with complexity that meant that by winning, they would lose. They could never achieve the transactional speed they would need. And the key word here is transaction. Coffee shop owners don't give a fuck about your coin. Coffee shop owners don't give a fuck about your NFT. Coffee shop owners don't give a fuck about anything but getting fucking paid. And if getting paid is non-deterministic, both in temporal terms and in terms of value, coffee shop owners will never use your dreck. Okay? The restaurants, the small businesses, and guess what? The big companies, they care about getting paid too. They also care about paying employees in some type of specie that allows them to actually use the money so they keep, you know, stay at the fucking job, right? And aren't out, you know, setting fire to shit. Crypto was designed to fail, up front, 100% designed to fail. And the other thing I came to conclusion about is that crypto was upside down. Cryptos and Bitcoin made the coin the king, the first class citizen. The first class citizen is the transaction. Businesses need to conduct business. If their transactions become non-deterministic, that's not a very good business model. That's a really shitty cash flow model, and that's the kind of model that can destroy businesses. You know, actually, this dumb motherfucker at Coinbase is inadvertently admitting that the nature of crypto fuck them, okay? Crypto people for years said, we're stable, we're the stable thing, we're so stable. If it's so fucking stable and predictable, why the fuck would a deep state Federal Reserve recession impact you? If you're so fucking decoupled from the dollar, why the fuck would it matter? You would be hiring people. You would be sweeping people up. You have such a great fucking idea. You're the beta, not the VHS. You're really good. In this guy's letter, he is admitting that crypto is just as shitty as fiat. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of folks on the Zero Hedge thread now that are sort of navigating their responses to, well, you know, we're no worse than fiat. We're just as bad as fiat. You're going to have the same shit with fiat. They're navigating to the position that crypto is no worse than fiat. Well, actually, that's not true. Because I can go to the Maverick down the street and I can use cash to buy something. I can't use crypto to buy shit. There are lots of places in this country where you can't use crypto to buy shit, but you can use cash. And the cash simply works, okay? I give them a $20 bill, they give me back my Federal Reserve change. Do I like using Darth Vader's money? No. I would prefer to use gold and silver. But this is a shitty situation we find ourselves in. But the only thing worse than using shitty Death Star money is using shitty Death Star money that doesn't work. Period. It does not work. It cannot work. Crypto has been one of the biggest wastes of time and resources in recent history. In a few months, if you're going to be looking for a GPU or a video card of any sort, if you're going to be looking for a used server, in a few months, a lot of equipment is going to go on Craigslist and other places. In a few months, a lot of those girlfriends are going to start becoming hookers again. In a few months, the crypto world is going to look a lot different, and it's going to be a fucking joke. That's what this dude should have said in his fucking email to his employees. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, as stated earlier, I'm declaring a beer emergency. If you're into crypto and I offended you, that's also called freedom, fuck you. If you're living in Normieville and you're trying to bargain your way psychologically to a good place, the best advice I can give you is complete the stages of grieving. Go through every fucking stage. Get to depression and then get to acceptance. Beyond that, there is a future. But if you keep looking for some lesser catastrophe, whether it's the monkey herpes or the BLM Antifa bullshit, if you're looking for some lesser monster to somehow assuage you, oh, it was Putin, it's the Russians. If you're still struggling to find some lesser demon to somehow take responsibility, you are in a lot of fucking trouble. You are in a lot of trouble, baby. But you know what? If that's how you want to fucking live in that kind of state of delusion, then you motherfucker, if you have any of the super riches you claim you have, should donate beer money. If you made it this long, why the fuck not? On the other hand, I think just about everybody in real terms is broke. I think it's weird to be offered a six-figure job. You know, they're going to ship me a $4,000 computer. A year ago, this project I was working on, the dude tells me to go into a closet and grab a computer from 2007. Barely works. Barely works. Barely functioned. It functioned just enough to match how much I gave a fuck about analyzing Federal Reserve data. But I compare that to this, and it's hard to correlate the two without asking, is this a what the fuck moment? I don't know. I really don't know. A $4,000 computer with really advanced features, a gaming computer, versus the tower from 2007 that was just a pile of shit. And what's really funny is that the motherfucker I was working for claimed to be a super expert in all business and technology. Go to the closet, go grab a computer from 2007. One of these things is not like the other, brothers and sisters. One of these things doesn't belong. So I'm declaring a beer emergency. And I'm looking for help from the Redneck Navy. I'm looking for space travelers heading towards Venus, thinking there's a sexy colony of busty aliens. It's black and white. So if you like this podcast and you want to keep it going, the surest bet is to donate some money. You should take care of yourself first. You should take care of your family first. And if you've already donated, why would you donate more? You don't have to. You're not required to in the first place. I'm not going to guilt trip you. I'm not going to tell you I intend to spend this money on Bitcoin and invest in my future. I'm going to take this money and open up a membership at the local gym. I'm going to take this money and make sure I go get my monkey herpes shot. No, I'm not going to buy coffee filters either and shove them on my face. What I will do is go get beer from the Maverick. And I will have to use cash to do that because crypto doesn't fucking work there. So if you were to say, here's some crypto, Dan, well, that helps me maybe in about 2 weeks, assuming it doesn't all melt away. But, you know, if you actually want to be helpful and you believe in your crypto bullshit, then just use the PayPal link. Just do that, fucker. Believe me, PayPal supports crypto now. They're getting into crypto. I don't know how that's gonna fucking turn out. But if you're all crypto, then why don't you just send me some fucking PayPal? But send me cash, because that's what Maverick takes.